Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Broadband Exchange, which is Telecompetitor's podcast. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. Today is the final episode of a three-part series about the BEAD program. We're speaking with Lori Adams, Vice President of Broadband Policy and Funding Strategy for Nokia. Nokia has shown leadership in rural broadband in particular as it relates to the BEAD program. In 2023, Nokia was the first to announce U.S. manufacturing of broadband network electronics products for the BEAD program. And in 2024, Nokia was the first technology vendor to self-certify its fiber products manufactured in the U.S. for BEAD, ensuring each is Buy America compliant. Today's guest, Lori Adams, is the key member of the Nokia Government Affairs Americas team. In her role, Adams is responsible for developing strategies and tools to enable increased company participation in state, federal, and international programs, supporting infrastructure deployment by Nokia's business organizations. Adams is a highly skilled telecommunications attorney and senior executive with more than 20 years' experience and a successful track record in the government and private sector. This includes extensive experience with business development, federal, state, and local telecommunications issues, legal and regulatory matters, grant funding, municipal broadband, strategic planning, project management for large complex projects, public policy, government affairs, lobbying, and public speaking. Adams has a Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology from the American University and is an honors graduate of the University of Baltimore School of Law. This third episode is about BEAD deployment challenges. In case you missed them, our first episode in the series talked about lessons learned from early BEAD awards, and our second episode discussed BEAD procurement challenges. Just a quick note before we dive into the podcast. The status of the BEAD program remains a developing story, and we expect there to be some substantive changes to the program once a new NTIA administrator is confirmed. But for now, BEAD is business as usual without any delays or changes. Telecompetitor and Nokia are committed to being a source for accurate and timely BEAD information and will continue to keep you updated as additional program information becomes available. Let's get into it. So in our last episode, you talked some about supply chains and procurement, and now let's talk about how that will affect deployment. What deployment challenges are you seeing for BEAD projects right now so far? Or what deployment challenges do you expect that we're going to see?
Deployment is going to be a challenge, period, right? The first 10, 15, 20, maybe even 25 states are going to be in a better position for deployment because they will have available to them more resources. The more states that come online to build, the more competitive those resources get, the more scarce those resources get. And what I mean by that is human labor. I mean, construction is going to be the vast majority of the cost of these BEAD builds. You know, just like any broadband network infrastructure build out, it's the labor and construction that is the bulk of the cost and the bulk of the work. So the biggest deployment challenge is going to be managing your workforce in a way that you can build your network in the timeline that is required by BEAD. So within that 4 years, you have to do your environmental assessment, complete that, do your permitting, do your engineering, start your construction. And, you know, there's a lot of people who think that this is building out infrastructure is a linear timeline with, you know, kind of in the order that I just suggested. The reality is you're doing all of those things simultaneously, right? While you're doing your environmental assessment, you need to be submitting your permitting. You need to be submitting your orders for products. So it's not a, once you do this, then you do this, then you do this. This is a ready, set, go. Do as much as you can all at one time. As you complete your engineering designs, you need to roll them out to the construction crews because you need to be engaging them early and often and keeping them busy. The last thing you need is for your construction crews to be held up, waiting for engineering drawings, waiting for products to arrive, or if you run out of a product, like a handhold or something, which, you know, sure, no one's had any experience doing that before. It stops everything in its tracks. So the biggest challenge is going to be on the execution phase and managing the resources across all 50 states.
Great. So speaking of those human resources, right, there are a lot of training programs right now that are trying to address the broadband workforce shortage. What are the risks of this labor shortage? And do you think these new training programs will be enough?
That is a TBD, right? We don't know yet. I'm not exactly sure how many states have their hands in the workforce development bucket. I know that states can use a portion of their BEAD dollars for workforce development if they're achieving their goals of reaching all of their locations. A lot of states are engaging with community colleges to help with training programs. There's a lot of construction companies that have training programs as well. Now, those programs are for their own people, their own workforce, but they are available to help bring people into this space and then, train them to be put out there. A lot of states are talking about keeping the BEAD dollars in their state. Peter Vogtberg in Ohio is very, he's a very outspoken, charismatic guy. And he talks a lot about he wants to keep the BEAD dollars in Ohio. Well, the question is, are there enough construction crews? Are there enough labor? Is there enough labor in Ohio to do that? And what happens if that Ohio labor goes to another state because another state is starting before Ohio, right? So there's, as we know, folks cross state lines all the time. They go where the work is. They go where the wages are higher. And so it's going to be a pretty big challenge with that workforce development, keeping that labor force robust and working. And yeah, it's going to be, we will see how it goes. And people need to keep in mind that $42 billion is a lot of federal funding. I mean, there's no doubt about that, right? The BTOP program after the crash and the financial crash of 08, 09 and the recession we had was $4 billion, And if that felt like $42 billion at the time. So $42 billion is a lot. And these projects are going to be built simultaneously. But it's not the only thing happening in the broadband industry, right? We have a significant amount of private equity investment, a significant amount of self-funded builds by large ISPs that are ongoing simultaneously. There's also other broadband programs happening. You still have CPF programs that are just now getting to the build phase. You have reconnect programs that are going to be coming online. So, you can't look at BEAD as if it's the only game in town. It is actually a small part of what is happening in our industry.
Absolutely. So can you talk a little bit about each of these topics and their effect on deployment? Cost escalation, increased construction volumes, which you've touched on, and project management complexities.
Yeah, cost estimation, right. So yeah, we did talk about that in the pod on procurement and how important it is to make sure that your estimates for your budget are accurate, because the demand for resources will increase cost. Generally, the cost of construction increases every year. I mean, that is a known fact. So the cost escalation thing could easily get out of control for you if you're not locking your vendors into pricing and getting hard pricing for your budget. The biggest mistake you see, and we saw this a lot with RDOM, right? I mean, to kind of use a program as an example, because the RDOF reverse auction, and we could talk, another day on why reverse auctions are a poor way to build broadband. But anyway, was the least amount of subsidy required to reach a particular high cost area, meaning an area where it's really high to cost to build there. So you're talking about the least amount of subsidy is going to win the award. The budgets that were put together were based on 2018, 2019 pricing. By the time you get to submit everything and you're doing your long form for at the FCC and you're down the road of all of the due diligence that has to be done, you're 3 years away from starting those deployments. And what we started to see, what we have seen with RDOF, are significant defaults because folks underestimated the cost. They, didn't include X, Y, or Z. Cost of labor went up. And this is because of the demand for services, the fact that there's all this other stuff happening at the same time. So it just exacerbates the need for you to have locked in pricing and have as hard estimates as you can possibly get for your initial budget, because cost escalation will happen. And if you find yourself with escalating costs, it's coming out of your pocket, not the federal government, because the money you get from them, the federal subsidy amount, is the amount you're getting. You're not getting any more. So anything extra comes out of your pocket. I'm going to shift over to project management, because it is a complex thing to manage a government-funded grant project. There's no such thing as free money. We've all heard that. There's all this compliance and reporting guidelines and things like that. So that has to be built into your PMO. But the other part of this that's really tricky is the reimbursement schedule and your matching funds. And so, you know, BEAD projects, as a rule, kind of a baseline rule, minimum of 25% matching funds, with a few exceptions for some high cost areas. So you're going to have, a project manager is going to have to manage where you put those matching dollars, making sure you're spending your matching dollars as you committed to, making sure you're building to meet any reimbursement timelines that are required by your state, so that you know how much money you can access for reimbursement as you spend it. And that's a really tricky thing, because if your reimbursement schedules are contingent on deployment timelines, build milestones, then you may have to have some liquidity, right? Some extra cash flow in order to cover the cost of your contractors, because if you stop paying your contractors, they will leave. So all of this is kind of wrapped up in the project management piece of it, and makes it very complex to manage. Now, you know, anyone sitting down should be building this into their application, but, you know, kind of what that Gantt chart looks like, what those milestones look like, how you're spending your matching funds, when you're going to access your reimbursement, and what you're going to use that money for. And so those are all going to be critical moving pieces for the BEAD project. And, you know, you also have to make sure that you're spending proportionately to what is in your budget. So if you're overspending on construction, where's that coming out of? Are you underspending your budget in other areas? So you have to tightly manage this all the way through. It's not something you can kind of just, you know, start handing out checks or paying for things without thinking about the implications for the financial plan.
Great. Last question here, what implications will deployment challenges have for both public and private funding initiatives?
You know, private funding, while you don't have the same level of scrutiny, the same level of public scrutiny that you do in a publicly funded grant project, right? Private equity moves fast, right? They're streamlining, they're trying to build fast, they're trying to get there's an ROI that is really critically, must be achieved. Public projects are a little bit different. You have some policy goals, you have the goals of the program, you have your commitments, you have your budget. So they're a little bit different in the way that you deploy and build. The commonality, though, between them is that both of these types of projects are going on simultaneously. And again, you know, you're pulling from the same labor pool, you're pulling from the same resources pool, you're getting your products from the same supply chain. Now, private equity may not have a Buy America requirement for that, right? Like, they're going to be looking to achieve the most cost-effective means for deployment. So you're not likely to see a Buy America requirement as part of private equity funded projects, where you will on the BEAD side. So it's, you know, there's the differences are there, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're both building a broadband network, right? You need to build it in a world-class network and bring on subscribers and make sure that you do have an ROI, because even on the BEAD side, if the main goal is not necessarily an ROI, it's to reach households, but, you know, you have to have a sustainable network. You have to be bringing those customers on and lighting them up in a way that they have affordable broadband. But you're going to see a lot of this side by side, happening, because there's so much building happening and will be happening over the next 2 years on both sides of that coin.
Great. Thank you so much, Lori, for taking the time over these last three episodes to talk with us about the early BEAD awards and then the procurement process and then in this episode, the deployment process. Really appreciate your time and your expertise.
Great. Right. Thanks, Ian. It was great to be with you.
Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange, and thank you to our guest, Lori Adams, Vice President of Broadband Policy and Funding Strategy for Nokia. Nokia Rural Broadband Solutions help you create new revenue streams while delivering growth opportunities for your community. Let's work together to close the digital divide. Thank you for joining us for this three-part series on lessons learned from early BEAD awards and BEAD procurement and deployment challenges. Visit TeleCompetitor at telecompetitor.com and feel free to drop us a line. We'll see you next time.